to learn from the truths that you would have for us as we examine it. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon, or this evening rather, we want to continue our study through 1 Samuel. And so if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. We've been looking at the life of Samuel and the beginning of his ministry in the nation of Israel. A lot can be examined as what was going on in Israel at the time that Samuel lived and comparing it to what's happening in our own country. The nation of Israel had always been blessed up until this time, and God was their king. God had made provision for them. He'd supernaturally provided for them. He had given them miraculous deliverance from their enemies. He delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. He actually had made them a nation. But now the people were demanding something. Samuel was getting older, and they were demanding a king. And the reason they wanted a king is they looked at all the nations around them, and they said, well, they've got kings, so we should have a king. And we need to have someone that we would follow and would be our leader. And Samuel, as you remember a couple studies ago, had tried to warn them. The Lord had said, Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. And if you look at even what's happening in our own nation, I think it's important that we have leaders that are righteous and holy in their beliefs and lifestyles and perspectives and want to lead our nation in righteousness. But if we're looking for men to deliver us, they can't. It has to be the Lord. And Samuel had tried to tell this to the people, and God had given to Samuel the words to warn the people, this is what the king's going to do if he comes to power. He's going to take your young men, he's going to inscript them into his army, he's going to make them his soldiers, his chariot riders, his those that will go to war for him. He's going to take your young women and make them those that work for him. He's going to tax you and take a portion of your money to support his lifestyle. And these things are all going to happen. And the people said, we want it anyway. And now it's coming to the point of happening. God has called Samuel to anoint Saul. Saul is an interesting study. Saul was a man that the whole nation of Israel, when they saw him, they said, that's our guy. He evidently was, the scriptures tell us, he was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. In other words, he was tall. He was muscular and good to look at, and appeared to be everything that you want in a leader, because he's the guy that we want as our face. But the one thing that the nation of Israel didn't look at, and that's utterly important to the Lord, is what is a person's heart? God isn't so much concerned with the outside as he is with the inside. And Saul had a problem. Because Saul was someone who was influenced by men and didn't like to turn and ask God for direction. And as long as there was someone there that he could look to, and if that person was godly, for example, Samuel, he would seek their advice. But as we saw last time, when he went to look for his father's asses or donkeys that had wandered away. It wasn't Saul that said, we need to go to Samuel the prophet and see if he can tell us how to find our donkeys. It was his servant. And when they got there, it wasn't Saul that really understood the circumstances of going up to worship as Samuel led a group of people in worship of the Lord as he offered sacrifice and had the people sit with him and eat. But it was his servant that understood that. And as they were leaving, Samuel told Saul, God has called you to be the king of Israel. And Saul appears to be humble of heart, but as we're going to see in the lesson tonight, it may be more than humility, but it may be fear and a lack of trust in God that manifests itself with the appearance of humility. Let's just take a look at chapter 10 this evening. It says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon the head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Now I want you to just pause there and look at what he said. Samuel said, the king of Israel is different from another king. He calls him, instead of the king over Israel, he says, you now are being anointed the captain over my inheritance. What would it be a captain? A captain would be the leader. The one that was to give direction, purpose, and meaning to the people. And Saul was going to be anointed to take this position as the captain or the leader of the nation of Israel and the ones that Israel would follow by his example and follow as they looked at his character. Well, let's read on, and it says, when thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going to God to Bethel, one carrying two kids, another carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets, coming down from the high place of the with a psaltery and a tabret, and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he was turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all these signs came to pass that day. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, Behold, he prophesied among the prophets, when the people said one to another, What is this that has come unto the son of Kish? And Saul also among the prophets. Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, But who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, Is Saul also among the prophets? And when he made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, Whither went ye? And he said, To seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, Tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, He told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all the kingdoms, and of them that opposed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversaries and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near, their families, the family of Matri, was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if a man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. And they ran and fetched him, and thence when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel said to all the people, See ye to whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. Then Samuel told the people the matter of the kingdom, and he wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us and help us to understand the truth of your word tonight as we look at the events that surrounded the initial coronation of Saul and the introduction of him to the nation of Israel and all that went about in those events. But Lord, let's help us to see an important thing that is evident, and that is the character of Saul. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to see that we need to be directed by your Spirit and not by our flesh. And Father, may we learn to always rely on you in all circumstances at all times. And Lord, I pray now that you just speak to us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, as we begin to look at this, that Samuel anointed Saul, but it was a private anointing. And the anointing that was going to come, as we read later, was going to come at Gilgal. And Samuel had told Saul, as they left and departed from him, go to Gilgal, I'm going to have all the people gathered together there. That event didn't occur until 7 days later. The actual anointing service before the people didn't occur in this particular chapter, although the introduction of Saul as their king or their captain did occur, as we see that he was called out from amongst the nation of Israel by Samuel. It's interesting that as Saul left Samuel, Samuel told him that there's going to be three signs to show you that my word is true and that the thing that I've spoken to you and the anointing that has occurred is really going to be happening and that you will be the king. Now, the first thing I want to explain is what happened with the anointing. Why did Samuel anoint Saul with oil? Well, if you notice, if you go back and examine how that the high priest would be anointed in the nation of Israel, be anointed the same way. The significance of oil and anointing and pouring of oil over the head of the high priest and also of Saul was that the Spirit of the Lord would direct them and the Spirit of the Lord would be upon them. Oil was a symbol of God's Spirit and that God's Spirit would be with them. We know from some of the priests who were high priests that that didn't always occur. We saw that with Eli. He was a man who did not understand the importance of upholding God's character and truth, even at the expense of disciplining his own children. And so there were still choices that had to be made by those people. Throughout the history of the nation of Israel and their kings that would come, there would be good kings and there would be bad kings. In the kingdom of Judah, the majority of the kings were good kings. In the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, the majority of them, all of them rather, were bad kings. And why were they good or bad? It all boiled down to choices and obedience and walking with God or against God. And we see that simply to be anointed as the king, you still had to make choices in your daily life. And that was what Saul was going to face. And it began to be evident early on that even though God's Spirit would work through Saul at various times, that Saul's choices weren't always right and ultimately led to his losing the kingdom. And it begins to manifest itself even in his calling out. But let's take a look at the, first of all, the three signs. Why did God give him signs? Well, as we said, Saul was a man who looked at circumstances and was driven by people and circumstances, and God brought into his life signs that would make it evident to him that what the Lord had said to him through Samuel was true. Samuel told him of three events that were going to occur as he began to go home to his father. The first was that two men were going to meet him by Rachel's tomb. Now these two men would be carrying some interesting things. They'd be carrying three kids, or they'd be young goats. They'd be carrying three loaves of bread and a bottle of wine. If you look at that, those things were all involved in sacrifice, and they were all involved in worship of the Lord. And it doesn't say that these men were on their way to offer sacrifice, but they very well could have been. And because Rachel's tomb would have been on the way to the area where Saul was, and it would have been, which is close to Bethlehem, or close to Jerusalem. And now we see that as these men come, Samuel told them that they're going to give you two of their loaves of bread. And it's interesting, what is the symbolic meaning of these two loaves of bread? Well, throughout the history of Israel, bread had a significance. And part of it was that the Lord is the bread of our life. The Lord gives us sustenance. The Lord is the one who gives us all things. And we see that as they gave them these two loaves of bread, they did that exactly like Samuel had told him. These guys didn't know Saul. They just came upon him. They gave him two loaves of bread. Didn't give him a kid. Didn't give him any of the wine. Just gave him the two loaves of bread. Then they go on, and the second thing that would happen is he continues and he goes forward thence and comes to the plain of Tabor. And there he's going to meet three men that are going to go up to Bethel. And Bethel was a place where an altar had been made by Abraham, and where it was to be, Bethel means the house of God. And these men were going up there, and it said that when he met them, what was going to happen there? These three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying, oh, that's where they were carrying the three kids, I'm sorry. And then the second one is that they will salute thee and give them the two loaves of bread. The at Rachel's tomb, there they had said unto him that they would. I'm sorry, I got my notes mixed up. But then the third sign was going to be that God would meet this group of prophets. And the significance of the prophets, Saul was not a prophet, but yet he was meeting these prophets. And let's read the account of when he would meet the prophets. And it says here that after that, thou shalt come to a hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and tabor and pipe and harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And so they're coming down, and remember, at this particular time, the high place were not places of worshiping false gods, but there were places where they worshiped the true God at this particular time in the nation of Israel. And we see that they were coming down, and they were coming down singing praises through music, and they were prophesying. And let it be that these signs come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And so these were to be a sign to Saul, these three things that were happening, because there were three things that normally wouldn't have happened in the life of Saul. Meeting these two men by Rachel's tomb, the three men bringing the loaves of bread, the wine and the kids, and the prophets coming down. All of them were dealing with the worship of God. And these were things that were not normal to the life of Saul, but it was signs that God was going to be with Saul and that his trust really needed to be turning to the Lord. And as he looks at these things and happens, it says that thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and that's where he tells him that he's to go to Gilgal and he's to wait for him there, and Samuel's going to come and he's going to call him out before the whole nation of Israel. And he does this. Now when he gets to Gilgal, Samuel has put out the word that he wants all the tribes of Israel to gather at Gilgal. And he would do this on occasion for worship. And when we were in Israel, we were at Shiloh, get the word right. We were at Shiloh, and as we were at Shiloh in Israel, that is where the original tabernacle had been set up, and the nations would get, all the tribes would gather around the tabernacle for worship at Shiloh. And we saw how that the place where the tabernacle probably sat and how the tribes would have been all around it. Well, Joshua would call all the tribes together, and we saw later on that they would call the tribes together for specific reasons. And so Samuel was calling them all together, and he's calling them together at Gilgal. Gilgal had significance when Joshua brought the people into the nation of Israel. It was one of the first places that the nation had met as when they crossed the Jordan River, was at Gilgal. And so we see that he calls them there. All the nations gather. And the picture is given that they're gathering together as tribes. And as they're gathering the various tribes, then Samuel begins to call out at the direction of the Lord to show who the king will be. And so the first thing he does is he calls out the tribe of Benjamin. And so the tribe of Benjamin comes forth. And then out of the tribe of Benjamin, he calls out the family. And then out of the family, he calls out Saul. And so Saul has been designated and shown that he has been called out of the whole nation of Israel to be their king. Now, it's an interesting thing that happens when Saul is called out. They can't find him. He's nowhere to be seen. Now, Samuel said and had told Saul, I'm anointing you king of Israel. And I want you to go to Gilgal. I want you to wait for me there. And wait for my instruction. And the instruction was, I'm calling you out. But he doesn't come forth. And they show Saul, when they go to find him, he's hiding. He's hiding amongst his stuff. I guess they had stuff just like we have stuff. He didn't want to come out. And he didn't want to be the king. A lot of people says that shows the humility of Saul. I believe it shows something much greater, and that is it shows his lack of faith and his yielding to fear instead of yielding to the direction of God. All the three signs that God had given and shown to Saul on his way first home and then to Gilgal all dealt with worship, all dealt with relationship with God, all dealt with looking to the Lord. And now we see that Saul, who has been told by Samuel, you are going to be king, is hiding. Well, they go and they get him and they bring him out. But why would he hide? Why would he hide? Well, first of all, he might have recognized his own inability to hold the position. He may have recognized that he didn't have the ability to lead this nation in his own strength. And guess what? Even David acknowledged, I don't have the ability to lead Israel in my own strength. He relied on the Lord. But Saul doesn't rely on God. He's always calling on men and asking for their opinion and asking for their support and asking for their direction instead of calling on God. So that might have been one of the reasons he was hiding, is his own recognition his unfitness for the job. The second might be that it was exposing him to the fact that there would be those who would be against him because of his position, and they might be envious of what he would hold. And you know, I was just talking to a person the other day, and they were talking to me about, you know, they're in a church, and the church is beginning to do some things that aren't according to the Bible and the Scripture, and it's really bothering him, and he's wondering, what should I do? What do I do? And I said, well, the Scriptures are clear. You need to stand for truth. You need to stand for the Word of God. And if your church is beginning to teach things that are ungodly, you need to go to those that are responsible in leadership and talk to them and share your concerns. And guess what? I said there's going to be one of two responses. Either they're going to say, thank you so much for pointing this out. We are going to change and go according to God's Word. Or they're going to get very angry at you and tell you to leave. And because I want to tell you, if you're going to take a position where you're going to be standing for truth and you're going to be kind of a point man or someone that's going to stand up when other people won't, those are the two choices that people have when you confront them with truth. Even when you confront them in truth with love, they still, oftentimes, if they're unwilling to yield and confess and turn to the Word of God, they're going to get upset with you and angry because they don't want to go that way. Well, Saul may have some of those feelings. What are people going to think? Are people going to be envious of me because now I'm the king? Are people going to be angry with me because now I am the king? Because you see, Saul throughout his life, as I mentioned earlier, was driven by what do people think of me? That was very important to Saul throughout his whole life. And it impacted the decisions he made. And he didn't make decisions based on the truth of God, but oftentimes on what is the opinion of men. And so that may be one of the reasons he's hiding. He's fearful of what men might think. Thirdly, people had seen that he was a sinner like them. And now he's going to be the king of Israel? What would people think? And finally, the affairs of Israel at this particular time weren't necessarily really good. I was just thinking as I was reading this and thinking, well, that may have been one of the reasons Saul was hiding. If you look at, we see as we come to the end of the chapter here, there's two groups of people that hate Israel, and they're gaining strength. The Philistines are one of the groups of people, and they had always been the thorn in the side of Israel, and now they were gaining strength again. And we, and then also, I believe it was the Moabites, or the Ammonites rather, the Ammonites were gaining strength, and they hated Israel. And so now he's going to become the king of Israel. And guess what? They're getting ready to war against us, which means I have to be the guy that goes out and leads the nation against these people. That may be another reason why he's running and hiding. Because later on we see that's exactly what his character was when you come to Goliath and the whole account of David. Saul was hiding in his tent instead of facing David. And as he looks around, and where at Gilgal were the people meeting, and it says they were going by a stronghold of the Philistines. So he saw the enemy as he's going to be anointed king, and Samuel's down there with all the whole nation of Israel, and guess what? Some of the Philistines may be observing what's happening. And who's being anointed king? Saul. Well, how do you get rid of a people? You try and destroy their leadership. So they're going to come against me. That may have driven his fear and his hiding. Now, I want you to understand that we need to learn from the life of Saul, because we live in a day where we're called out to, number one, stand for truth. Stand on God's character. And not be driven by the philosophies of men. And right now, you know, on Sunday we talked about having a discerning spirit. Sunday morning we talked about it all in the world, how that there's a whole bunch of lies being told about what's going on in the world right now. You're seeing a whole bunch of young people being really brainwashed in our nation, and they're calling out and saying that Israel should be driven off the land, and that the Hamas should be given the land of Israel, when yet if you look at what Hamas has done, all they've done is kill, and all they want to do is kill. And but there's just a total lack of discernment and truth amongst many of the young people of our nation. So for you to stand for truth, it may be at times be difficult, because you're going to be one of the only people. Maybe sometimes you'll be the only person. But you have to understand the importance is, are you going to stand for truth and the character of God and His Word, or are you going to hide in the stuff? Hide in the stuff of this world so that people can't really see you and see that you're the one that's supposed to be standing out and doing what God's called you to do. And the second lesson that we need to learn is we need to realize that it's not in our strength that we do it. Saul, I believe, was looking at a lot of this, and if you look at how he even went about trying to find the donkeys, he was trying to figure out where they were in his own wisdom and his own strength. His servant was the one that said, let's go to the prophet of God and see if he can help us find where they're at. Go to the Lord. Saul didn't come up with that idea. And throughout his life, Saul didn't come up with very many ideas of going to God for anything. But it was always in, what do I think and what do people think? And then when it was in his own strength, then he'd realize his weakness. And even though he stood head and shoulders above Israel, when it came to the Philistines, they were taller than him. And so he became filled with fear. But we need to realize, as we face things, people have said to me, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. I'm just one little individual. And this whole world, and you've got all these wicked, evil people out there. You've got all these organizations that are just evil, that are trying to do all these things. What can I do? You can stand for truth. Now, God doesn't call us to be the ones that stand in our own strength, but we're to stand in His strength. And He says that He will give us opportunities to share, and when we stand for truth, we don't even realize who we may be influencing. Remember the account one time of a man who was a Sunday school teacher in this little tiny town, in a little tiny church, in a little tiny Sunday school. And one day he was kind of bemoaning to the Lord, what am I making with my life? Who am I influencing? What can I do? I'm just one little tiny person. But you know something? Throughout his whole life, he was faithful in preparing his lessons and teaching his children in his classes and being faithful to the Lord and just letting the Lord do it. And so he said, Lord, whatever you're going to do, I want to be faithful for you with what you've given me. This is what you've given me and entrusted me with. Well, one of those students in his class grew up to be a very influential pastor and teacher, and he came to know Christ through the introduction of Jesus through the Sunday school teacher. And this Sunday school teacher didn't think he was reaching out beyond this little group of kids, but he reached this man, who in turn reached hundreds of, if not thousands of people with the gospel. And who knows, that was just one young person that came out of his class. See, God doesn't tell us and doesn't show us until we get to heaven and we receive our rewards what our faithfulness will result in, even when we think we are the only one that's standing for truth. You remember when Elijah was depressed and because of Jezebel and all that was going on in the northern kingdom, and finally the Lord came down and he impressed on Elijah. He said, you're not going to have 5,000. I've got 5,000. You're not alone. And I want you to understand, even though sometimes you think that you're all alone or that this may be a little tiny church and there's nobody else that believes like we believe in the Bible and are holding to the truth, the problem is God's got his people throughout the whole world. And each one of us, no matter where we are, needs to stand for the truth in his power. And we don't need to be like Saul, hiding behind our stuff. You see, where did Saul feel most comfortable? It's evident. Hiding behind his stuff from the world. The stuff that he had back at where his family was, that as they'd come down to Gilgal to meet and go hide in the stuff. Go hide in the stuff of this world instead of hiding in the power, instead of placing yourself in the power of God. And that was the really became the mark that was the downfall of Saul throughout his whole career as the king of Israel. Was a lot of times he was hiding in his stuff and hiding and trying to do things in his own strength, and then he'd fail because he didn't look to God. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening. Help us to understand the significance and the importance of that we are willing to stand even if we maybe one, but when we stand with you, we stand in truth, we stand in power, we stand in authority, because we stand on your word. Lord, now I pray that you just go with us in the rest of this week and help us to be willing to stand in whatever circumstance you would place us in, for you and your character. And this we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you turn with me to 473. 473.